Well, find your place in Luke chapter 11 with me this morning. Luke chapter 11 is where we will be this morning, and it's because of what we're going to be doing this evening that we're in Luke chapter 11 this morning. And lest you think that we're going to play some kind of a game up here this morning, and one of our members, I think it was Liz, just to tell on Liz, I think Liz said, are we going to play a game? Was that you, Liz? Okay. No. No, we're not going to play a game, all right? But that's for tonight, and come back tonight to see just how those boards will be used in our first ever worship-based prayer night. And looking forward to that. I trust you'll be able to come back for that. And by the way, at the end of the service, Clint, let me see if I get this right. We're taking down the two side sections, correct? Okay. We're going to stack those sections of chairs, but not the middle sections. Is that right? Okay. Just the side sections get stacked because we're bringing in tables and chairs. Because in addition to a worship-based prayer night, there is going to be a food-based fellowship night. Does that work? Okay. So that'll be it, providing you bring food. So sandwiches, appetizers, snacks, you know, chips, whatever. And that will be part of our evening tonight. So I grew up in a church that recited the Lord's Prayer every Sunday, without fail. That wasn't wrong, by the way. That is not wrong. It's not bad to do that. But consequently, it became routine. And it kind of lost its meaning over the years. Now, Jesus did give that prayer, and he didn't give it for the purpose of simply being recited over and over and over again. Actually, it is the Lord's Prayer because Jesus is the one who gave it to his disciples. But it wasn't given to be repeated or recited or rehearsed. It was given as a pattern for how his disciples then and today are to pray. Have you ever thought about the Lord's Prayer that way? That the Lord's Prayer is a pattern, it's a model, more of a prayer primer. It was actually given in response to Jesus' disciples' request, Lord, teach us to pray. Like John the Baptizer taught his followers to pray. Would you teach us to pray? And so in response to that request, Jesus gave them this pattern for prayer. Now again, it's not wrong to recite it. Sometimes we do that here at Shawnee Hill. Sometimes we will recite the Lord's Prayer. Some of you may do that as part of your prayer discipline. There are those who they just kind of, as a means of reminding themselves how to pray, they just pray that prayer as they begin their personal devotions or their prayer time, just to kind of get in sync with the way Jesus taught us to pray. So in his commentary on the Lord's Prayer, on the whole book of Luke, but including the Lord's Prayer, R. Kent Hughes refers to the Lord's Prayer as the architecture of prayer. Think about that. The architecture of prayer. This is how to pray. Now, some of you have enjoyed the books written by pastor and author Max Lucado. And he has written a book called The Great House of God. The Great House of God, which is a commentary on the Lord's Prayer. And you may ask yourself, well, why does Max Lucado call the Lord's Prayer the Great House of Prayer? Well, I want to suggest that he does that for at least two reasons. Number one, the foundation of prayer is our Heavenly Father. So when we are building a prayer life, and let me just say, that's one of my hopes for us as a church this year, that we, to a person, to a family, to a couple, we will build our prayer life. And I don't think you can go wrong doing that, can you? I think we should all, you know, none of it, we're never going to arrive. We're never going to get to the point we're going to say, you know what? I'm as good a prayer as I'll ever be, because you aren't, and I'm not either, okay? So we need to build our prayer life, and we start building that on the foundation of our Heavenly Father, because first and foremost, prayer is about Him. And that's what Jesus taught us, our Father. The first words out of Jesus' mouth, our Father who art in heaven. So He is the foundation. God is, in terms of His goodness, in terms of His greatness, in terms of His glory, that's what prayer is about. First and foremost, it's about God the Father. But secondly, the basic structure of prayer is both vertical and horizontal. Okay, think of this building, okay? It's vertical, it's horizontal, all right? And so prayer is both vertical and horizontal. The last time you prayed, how did you begin? Did you just kind of go right into just asking for what you want or what you need? Did you say, Lord, would you please? Or did you just say, would you please, you know? Well, prayer in terms of its structure needs to begin by focusing on the Father. We need to focus on the Father as Jesus taught us to. I want to submit to every time we pray, maybe apart from those kind of emergency room prayers where you are like Peter was walking on the water and you start to sink and all he could say was, Lord, save me, glub, glub, glub. Okay, that was, I mean, sometimes that's how we pray. We just pray supplications, you know, just urgent prayers of need. But I think for the most part, our prayer should always begin by acknowledging that our Father is the one to whom we're talking. We don't just barge in. We respectfully, reverently, with awe, address the Father, our Father, who art in heaven, focusing on the Father, His character, His rule. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Let Your name be holy. All right? So His character, His will, His rule, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That ought to be the vertical dimension of prayer. Then there's the horizontal dimension. So after focusing on the Father, we focus on the family. Okay? Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation. By the way, I think sometimes as believers in Jesus Christ, we forget that the way Jesus taught us to pray was as a community. It isn't give me my daily bread. We need to think beyond ourselves, beyond our own needs. It was give us as a community of believers, give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. So it focuses on the family in terms of our needs, our provisional needs, our material needs. Give us this day our daily bread. And it focuses on our pardon. Forgive us our sins. And it focuses on our protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You may not have any specific urgent, material, tangible needs, but somebody in this family does. Somebody does. And so when we pray, let's not be so self-focused. Let's be family-focused. Give us our daily bread, etc., etc. Let me just say this as kind of a big idea for this message. And here it is. True prayer, never occurs without a sense of need. True prayer. Now we can pray, kind of, but true prayer never occurs without a sense of need. Because in this passage that we have in front of us this morning, Jesus uses three words repeatedly: ask, seek, knock. And he uses those in the continuous tense: ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, okay? And so what do we get from those words? Well, number one, we ask because we need help. Do you need help? With what? Have you asked for help? See, sometimes we struggle in life, we struggle, we go along, and it's like the last thing we think about is asking God for help. So we ask because we need help. We seek because why? Because we're looking for help. We're looking for help. And we knock because we're not going to give up until we find the help we need. And you know what all that looks like? Prayer. Prayer. And some of you are like seasoned prayers. This is like, tell me something I don't know. Well, for many of us, we don't know this and we don't do this. We don't ask, seek, and knock because for some reason, we're a little bit too self-sufficient. And we don't think we need help. I want to tell you something. I need a lot of help. Do I ask for it when I need it? Not always. And neither do you. But we should. We should be much more mindful of the help we need that only our Father can provide. So true prayer never occurs without a sense of need. And by the way, the increasing intensity of ask, seek, and knock implies two things. Number one, it implies that our praying should be persistent. And secondly, it should be passionate. We should be, as believers in Jesus Christ, as a local body of believers, as individual couples, as individual families, we need to be persistent and passionate in our prayer lives. And sometimes, and I'll just speak for myself, I get to the end of the year and I look back on my prayer life in 2019. It wasn't nearly as persistent, as passionate as it should have been. In fact, it was pretty puny. Rather anemic. You know? So I need a tune-up. I need to build my prayer life. And the best way I know how to do that is go back to the basics, Luke chapter 11, and consider how Jesus taught his disciples, and if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're one of his disciples. So this is how Jesus is teaching you and me to pray. And so Jesus prayed passionately. Can you think of an example when Jesus prayed passionately, with emotion, with heart, with believing that the one to whom he was talking could do something to help him? When did he do that? On the cross? Absolutely on the cross. But even before the cross, when did he do that? In the garden. So in Hebrews, as well as in Luke chapter 22, but in Hebrews chapter 5, we have an example of Jesus' passionate praying. And it goes like this: and being in agony, this is in Luke chapter 22, and being in agony, he, that is Jesus, prayed more earnestly. Who in the days of his flesh, Hebrews chapter 5, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, prayers and supplications. See, there's a difference. Prayers is the idea of I worship the Lord, I worship my Father God by talking to him. That's one of the ways I worship. I worship through prayer. Tonight is a worship-based what? Prayer night. Okay? So I worship by talking to him. And Jesus did that. That's prayers. But supplications. Those are those, man, I am in real need here. I don't know what to do. I don't have the help. I need help here. And that's how Jesus prayed in the garden. Remember, he was in agony. And it says that he prayed, offered up prayers and supplications with what kind of cries and tears? Vehement, passionate cries and tears to him, to the Father, who was able to save him from death. Now, lest we think that somehow Jesus wanted to die, he didn't. He didn't want to die. He didn't feel like dying. It wasn't like, oh, great, now I can die. No, he was a human being like you and me. And in the garden, he said, Father, if it's possible for this to happen any other way, that was the humanity of Jesus praying. Nevertheless, what? Not my will, but yours be done. See, you know, sometimes in life, it's okay for us to say to the Father, Lord, if there's any other way for this to turn out than the way it seems to be heading, would you please do some kind of a course correction here? Because I don't like the way this is going. You know what? You can talk to the Father like that. Jesus did. It's okay for you to do that. As long as you end that prayer by saying, but not my will, but yours be done. Okay? So that's how Jesus prayed. He prayed passionately. He prayed persistently. And I want to ask the question, why should we pray like this? Or should we pray like this? Well, how do we pray like this? And what's going to happen if we pray like this? And I just throw those questions out to us as a church family to say, boy, we need to think about prayer as a body of believers and not just think about it and not just talk about it and not just read about it, but actually do it as a body. I'm going to say something. If we weren't having refreshments after the worship-based prayer night tonight, would you still come? Or is it the food that brings you here? And I want to say, I hope you come, whether we had snacks or not, because prayer is that important. Is prayer a priority in your life personally? You say, well, of course it is. I'm a Christian. Well, do you do it? If it's a priority, then you do it. If it's not a priority, then other things get in the way. And I think that's just something we have to acknowledge as believers. You know, if prayer is a priority, it's something I do. And I do it regularly. And I think what God wants us to do is not just do it regularly, but do it passionately. Do it with zeal. Do it with energy. Do it with emotion. Do it with a sense of need. True prayer never occurs without a sense of what? Need. Need. So what is passionate prayer? How do we pray passionately? Number one, I want to share with you just a basic premise of prayer. Just a basic premise. It's found in verses 9 and 10, Luke chapter 11. If you're there with me, look at verses 9 and 10. Jesus said, and I tell you, he's talking to his disciples, and I tell you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened to you. Here's the basic premise, okay? Prayer, hear me now, prayer is not a suggestion. Prayer is an expectation. Prayer is not a suggestion. If you have time, pray. If you feel like it, pray. You know, there's no if. A follow-up to that premise is this. We pray to obey. We pray to obey. A prayerless Christian is a disobedient Christian. You're living in disobedience. You're living outside the will of God. Because Jesus said to his disciples, ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. Don't quit, don't give up. Jesus was not throwing out a suggestion. He was stating an expectation. I expect my followers to be people of prayer. Believers, and listen, let me put it this way. According to this passage right here, and these are the words of Christ, we are commanded to pray. It's not an option. We are commanded to keep on asking, seeking, knocking, in order that we might receive, find, and gain access. Sometimes I wonder to myself, I wonder how many things I haven't received because I never asked. I haven't found because I've never sought. Has not been open to me because I never knocked. We're commanded to do that. We're not to give up. We're not to grow weary. But now, just speaking heart to heart with one another this morning, how many times have you and I just given up? Because it's like, this is never going to happen. I'm tired. I'm tired of praying this. I'm weary. I'm exhausted. I've been praying for this for 5 years or 10 years or 25 years. Do you have God's permission to stop? Well, no. Well, then keep praying. But we do. We do lose heart. We do grow faint. I mean, there are those things, it's like, I don't know why I'm praying anymore about this. I don't think it's ever going to happen. Well, maybe not, but maybe so. We're commanded to pray and pray persistently because prayer requires perseverance. Did you know that true prayer is hard work? Right, Morris? True prayer is not easy. It's not easy to keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking when you're just tired of doing that. It requires perseverance. Now remember who said this and to whom it was said. Who said this? Who said that? It's not a trick question. And you know, usually the right answer is Jesus anyway. So, okay. Jesus said this, right? Jesus said this. To whom did he speak this? His disciples. In fact, we see in the text, so I, Jesus, say to you, my disciples. In other words, Jesus, take my word on this. You can believe me. I'm the one telling you this. If you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you're going to find. If you knock, it's going to be opened. Whatever that is. All right? Now, that's not a blank check. Don't leave here going, Pastor said, all I have to do is ask and I'm going to have it. Seek and I'm going to find it. Knock, it's going to be open to me. It's like, whoa, what I've been missing out on. No, Jesus is saying you need to build persistence. You need to build perseverance. You need to build trust. By the way, if Jesus said this, that settles it. We're to believe it. We're to trust him for it. If we don't, that's called doubting. If we do, that's called trusting. And God is desirous of building our prayer lives. We're to believe him. We're to trust him. We are to pray to obey. I want you to remember that in 2020. Pray to obey. Pray to obey. Pray to obey. To obey. Write it down, mark it down, underscore that. Think of that every single day. I am to pray to obey. Now, there's more to prayer than obedience. That's kind of where it starts. Pray to obey. Asking implies the request, by the way. The word translated ask is the Greek word aiteo, and it means the request of a lesser to a greater. For example, when a child asks a parent for something, this is the word that would be used. A lesser child to a parent greater. By the way, kids, never forget that. Okay? Or it could be a subject of a kingdom making request of his king. Or it could be an enlisted person making a request of his or her superior officer. Okay, there's this lesser to greater, lesser to greater. So even in the word, Jesus is reminding us, when you pray, never forget you're the lesser, he's the greater. Okay? You're the lesser, he's the greater. He's the heavenly father, you're the earthly child. Okay? We need to have that perspective. I don't think it's ever appropriate. In fact, I think it's downright blasphemous for anybody to ever refer to God as the big guy in the sky, to ever refer to God as my buddy. No, he's your papa. You can pray to your papa God, okay? But he is the awesome, infinite, heavenly father. That's who he is. Just never forget who you are. You're his child. You're redeemed, but you're the kid. He's the parent. He's greater. And the word ask reminds us of that. When we ask our Father for something we need, when we ask our Heavenly Father for something we need, do we have to just kind of twist his arm? Wear him out? You know what? He is ready, he is willing, and he is able to help us. And I'm convinced he wants to help us more than we want to be helped. I'm convinced of that. Or we would be asking more than we do. I would be too. He wants to help us. He's ready to help us. And asking is an expression of our need and our dependence on him and of humility. Sometimes children, teens, even adult children, and they don't want to ask their parents for help because that would be humbling. That would be kind of humiliating. If I were to, you know what? You have no idea, kids, how much your parents want you to ask them for help. They're ready, willing, just our Heavenly Father is, ready and willing to help us. They're not going to kick you to the curb. They're going to say, oh, thanks for asking. Of course, I'm here to help. And that's how our Heavenly Father is. By the way, we have two illustrations of this in verses 5 through 13. We're going to move through this rather quickly. I won't even read the text. But in verses 5 through 13, we have two illustrations of this principle, that prayer is not a suggestion, it's an expectation, and we pray to obey. Number one is the parable on persistence, verses 5 through 8. And I think you know the passage, where this friend has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight, and he says to him, now I'm going to tell you something. That's the test of friendship, right there, okay? For the most part, I don't even want my friends coming to my door at midnight, okay? Unless they have a need. And in this case, this person had a need, and he said, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey. I have nothing to set before him, and he will answer from within. Yep, that's probably what I would say. Do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Some friend. Unless you understand the floor plan of a Middle Eastern house in those days. It was just kind of a stucco house, one room, and when they went to bed at night, they're all sleeping on the floor, and like a good parent, the kids are closest to the door. In case somebody breaks in, they'll get them first. No, but in this case, the kids are all sleeping on the floor, and the friends are against the parents are against the wall, and the dad is saying, you know what? I'm going to have to crawl over my kids to give you 3 loaves of bread. Couldn't you have gone to Ohl's and bought bread yesterday, you know? And so that's his response, but now it's not over yet. Verse 8 says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, his persistence, he will rise up and give him whatever he needs. There's something about, and in this case, this is a friend-to-friend scenario. Okay, this is not a lesser to greater. This is a peer situation. And by the way, prayer is for us. It's not like we have to nag God to death to answer our prayers. But in contrast to this situation, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance at all. Prayer is laying hold of God's highest willingness. Remember that. It's not overcoming his reluctance. It's laying hold of his highest willingness. And the importance of being persistent in prayer is the main point of this parable. Jesus is saying, so don't quit. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Persistence, and by the way, in this case, here's this guy knocking at his neighbor's door, and it's like shameless insistence, bold pleading. I wonder how many times we do that because we know the only help available is our Father. He's the only one that can do anything about this. This parable illustrates asking, seeking, and knocking. And by the way, why did the friend ask? Did the friend have a need? Yes. A friend came to him, and he had no food in the house. So he had to, what? Ask for bread. He needed to be given bread. Why did he seek? Why did he go looking for bread? He didn't have any. He had to find somebody who had bread. And it was midnight, and so he's knocking at the door, and he keeps knocking, and he keeps knocking until his friend says, all right, just stop knocking, I'll give you the bread, all right? That's not our God, but the parable is not about reluctance. The parable is about persistence. God wants his people to be persistent. You know, we give up too easily. We do. I've been praying about this for a week. A whole week. Wow, give you a gold star. What's a week? How about a month? How about a year? How about 5 years? How about you keep praying until you believe that prayer has been answered or you have God's permission to start praying about that? See, we give up too easily. This is about persistence. The second illustration is in verses 11 to 13. It's a picture of paternity. It's a father-son relationship here. It's a father-son relationship. So Jesus uses this, and look at verses 11 to 13 with me. Verse 11, Jesus said, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Maybe you're, okay. And if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion. If you then who are evil, that is sinful, depraved, if you who are sinful know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I want to underscore how much more? How much more ready? How much more willing? How much more generous? How much more available is our Father than our earthly Father? If being evil by nature, we parents, we dads, if we know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more does our Heavenly Father, who's perfect, know how to give the Holy Spirit and beyond the Holy Spirit, or in addition to the Holy Spirit, things that are for us? I know when I was growing up, I went through a phase where I didn't like my dad because he just wouldn't give me what I want. He wouldn't let me do what I wanted to do, you know. And now my dad loved me, and he was not abusive, and he was a firm father. Okay, he was a disciplinary father, not abusively so, but appropriately so. And it wasn't until I became a father that I began to understand what fathering is all about. And that my dad was not being mean, he was not being unkind, he was actually loving me by not giving me everything I asked for. but being ready and willing to give what I needed. And you know what? My dad was always available. I always appreciate my dad because even though he worked long hours and all that kind of stuff, he was available. He was accessible. I had access to my dad. And I tried to raise our four kids the same way. Okay, you know what? I may be studying. I may be at the church. But I tell you, one call that will always get through to me is one of my kids. That call will always come through to me. And not to mention my wife, okay? She was first line, they were second line, but they could all get through, all right? And that's where Heavenly Father is. A prayer from one of his kids will always be heard. Not always answered the way you want it to be, but it'll always be heard, and will always get the right answer, although we may not see it that way. So here we have these two illustrations of prayer. Now, let me just quickly say there's a basic purpose for prayer, too. The premise is it's not a suggestion, it's an expectation, and we pray to obey. The purpose of prayer is we are needy. Would you just say that with me? I am needy. Say that with me. I am needy. Say it again. I am needy. Say it again. I am needy. Say it until you believe it. I am needy, okay? You are. I am. All right? We are needy, but God is good and generous. Would you say that? Father, you are so good and generous. I am needy, you are good and generous. Say that with me. I am needy, you are good and generous. I am needy, you are good and generous. I am needy, you are good and generous. That's the basic purpose of prayer. We're needy. We're needy, but he's good, and he's generous. And our neediness, listen to me, our neediness prompts his generosity. I've heard parents say this, and I concur. If I had one thing to do over again as a dad, I'm doing now with my grandkids. My kids are going, Dad, you're never like that with us. Well, yeah, I learned a few things. So when it comes to parenting, I wish I had said yes more often. Okay? I wish I had said, because there were times when I said no, and I go, why did you say no? You know, I could have said yes. I wish I had praised more often instead of criticized. Seriously. I wish I had done that. And so now my grandkids get the benefits of what I didn't do well with their parents, you know. But our Heavenly Father, you know, he is ready to say yes. He is ready to give. He is ready to just do whatever we need. Whatever we need. And for what are we to ask? We'll back up in the Lord's Prayer itself in verses 2 through 4. We're to ask and expect to receive daily bread, our physical provision, food, shelter, clothing. We're to ask and be ready to receive forgiveness of sin, spiritual pardon, freedom from guilt. We're to ask and be prepared to receive help in times of temptation and trials, to receive strength, to resist and to stand. We are expected to receive deliverance from the evil one and from evil. And I think it comes back to, what do you expect? What do you expect when you pray? What do you expect? A father who's going to go, are you kidding me? Or a father who goes, I can help you with that. How are we to ask? And I'm going to just kind of rush through this part, but this deserves some time and attention. The Bible is very clear in how we are to pray. Number one, we're to pray believing. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22, Jesus said, when you pray, believe. By faith. Believe. Number two, we're to pray in Jesus' name. We come in the authority of Christ. I think we have to be careful that we don't pray and it's like this magic formula that if I say in Jesus' name, it'll come true. No. Jesus said, you pray in my name because you are coming to the Father in my approval, with my approval, with my authority. Go in my name. You know how that is. Go in my name. And we are to pray according to his will, not my will. pray according to His will, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. May your will be done. Share your heart. You know what? God knows what's in your heart anyway. You might as well tell Him. Okay? So just blurt it out there, respectfully. Okay? Let Him know what's in your heart. He knows anyway, so just tell Him. Just, it's good for you to just say so. And then always be ready to say, but not my will, but yours. Now let me just end by asking you this. Do you have a personal need? To a person sitting in this auditorium, you do. You have a personal need. You do. Do we have needs as a church family? Yeah, we do. We have needs. Are we lacking something because we haven't asked God yet, or we have failed to keep on asking Him, or we have asked amiss or from a wrong motive? Sometimes my motive is not right. It's not pure. It's not correct. It's not biblical. It's selfish. It's self-centered. It's greedy. Whatever it is, my motive isn't right, and maybe that's why my prayer is not being answered. Are we doubting? Are you truly convinced in your heart of hearts that God is able to answer your prayers, our prayers as a body? I think when we get to that point, we will be building our prayer life individually and as a body of believers. Do we lack persistence? Do we lack passion? Let me put it this way. Do you and I, do we pray like we mean it? Or are we just going through the motions of devotions? Are we just going through the motions of prayer? Yeah, I need to pray about this. I'll pray about this. And then we forget to keep on praying about it. Or do we pray like we mean it? Prayer is asking. It's seeking. It's knocking. We're commanded to pray persistently and passionately, expressing our great need for our Heavenly Father. By the way, can I just say it again? When we pray, we express our great need for our Heavenly Father, for Him. We need Him. We need Him, not just what He can give to us. Don't just look at His hands. Look at Him. Look at His heart. Look at Him as your Heavenly Father. We need Him. God desires prayer that is bold and confident. Somebody said, God desires prayer with nerve. Prayer with nerve. Not disrespectful prayer, bold prayer. Shameless prayer. Passionate prayer. Jesus said, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So tonight, at 6 o'clock, in this very room, we're gonna gather to pray together. Isn't that a good thing? For all the things we could do otherwise tonight, quite honestly, do you have anything better to do? And I say this sincerely. Do you have anything better to do than to be here with your brothers and sisters in Christ, praying together, seeking the Heavenly Father together? I'm going to be here. Not because I'm the lead pastor. I'm going to be here because I want to be with God's people as we worship and pray together. And you're going to find out why these boards are up here too. Okay. We're going to move into the observance of the Lord's table at this time. And I'm going to ask our men who will be serving us if they would please make their way forward, and Pastor Adam will come and join me.